O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There will come a day when God will judge this world in wrath. We don't want to be a part of that. Lord, we cry, rebuke me not in thy wrath. Lord, shoot the arrows of your grace into my heart and turn me and I'll be turned. That's our prayer, isn't it? Let's stand together. Brother Burke's going to come and lead us in number 17, Come Thou Fount, number 17.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain, fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Maybe see.
Good morning. Proverbs chapter 22. Verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Holy Spirit speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, said that being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and submitted himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Greg has told us before that everything in his scripture points to Christ, and it does. It definitely does. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, but he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Greg didn't touch on this, but we are called what in the scripture? When God born us again, we're babes. The children of God are babes. When I came to this church, I knew everything that the Puritans knew, but I knew very little about Christ. God raises up trainers for his children. They're called gospel preachers. There's one of the best sitting right there. I don't have the ability to see Christ in every scripture like Greg does. That's why God raised him up, to train me until I can see Christ in the scriptures like I should. And Greg trains us 3 times a week. And when we're old, we're not going to depart. Once the truth is in our mind, it's there to stay. But I'm going to tell you straight out, you're never going to hear truth from anything but a gospel preacher. There's no truth in anything else but the gospel. Train up a child in the way he'll go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Verse 8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that have a bountiful eye shall be blessed, because he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge and overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. On Highway 1 in New Smyrna Beach, there's a Free Will Church with a great big sign right now today. And that sign said this yesterday: come back to church because I missed you. And it signed God. That is the mouth of a deceitful woman. There's no salvation in free will religion because there's no gospel in a free will religion. These things are so evident to us, but the world will follow a strange woman. The reason they do is because the Lord abhors them. They're open to any suggestion that's not the gospel. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. When you think about it, that's a kind of a scary verse. Foolishness was bound up in David's heart, and yet he was a child of God, committed adultery and murder. And the rod of correction was this: Nathan said, thy sins has been forgiven, but the child is going to die. When we do foolish things, the Lord will send a rod of correction. The Apostle Paul, when he got older, made the mistake of kind of drifting back to Judaism, and God caused a riot, got him arrested, and sent to Rome. He subdues our iniquities, Micah chapter 7. The Proverbs are a great thing if you see Christ in them. If they're not, they're just words in a book. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Father. Who is a God like unto thee, Father, that pardoneth our iniquities and pass by our transgressions, who sent your Son, Father, to die on the cross, to shed his blood for our righteousness, Father. You've sent us a man to teach us this, Father, to open the scriptures to our mind. We spend our days, Father, in unbelief, and we ask that you'd help our unbelief. We have very little faith sometimes, Father. We ask that you'd increase our faith. We'd ask you'd be with Greg, Father, as he brings a message this morning. Give him the words, Father, that will present Christ to us and give us the ears to hear them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all sing to hymn number 44 in our spiral books. Number 44, Friend of Sinners. Number 44, if you could all please stand. Precious Savior, friend of sinners, we as such to thee draw near. Let thy Spirit dwell within us with that love that casts out fear. Matchless Savior, let us know thee as the Lord our righteousness. Cause our hearts to cleave unto thee. Come and with thy presence bless. Open now thy precious treasure. Let thy word here freely flow. Give to us a gracious measure. 'Tis thyself we long to know. Come and claim as thy portion. Let us all find rest in thee. Leave us not to empty notions. We would find our hope in thee. You may be seated.
If the Lord does not speak, we will be left to our empty notions. And that's what they are, empty. Will you open your Bibles with me to the third chapter of Daniel, please? Daniel chapter 3. Very familiar story. King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon setting up a golden image. Now, you remember in chapter 2, the king had had a dream about an image that had a head of gold, and Daniel interpreted that dream and told the king that that head of gold was him. Well, it wasn't enough for this man to just be the head of gold. He wanted to be the whole thing of gold. So he built a 90 feet tall. Now, the Statue of Liberty without the pedestal and without the arm and the torch is just a little over 100 feet. So that gives you an idea. This thing was solid gold. And he commanded all the people of his kingdom, when they heard the music, to bow down and worship the figure, the image. And then there were some Chaldeans who were jealous of the Hebrew children, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Remember, their names were changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow down. And they ran to Nebuchadnezzar and told him. And Nebuchadnezzar said, anyone who doesn't bow down and worship this image will be thrown into the fiery furnace. And so Nebuchadnezzar confronted Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and threatened them to throw them into the fiery furnace. And he said to them, and who is a God that will deliver you out of my hand? Well, he's about to find out, wasn't he? He's about to find out. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah said to the king. Now, the scripture's silent as to where Daniel was. There's you know, been some speculation, but it's all it is a speculation. We don't know where Daniel was. But I know this, if we see Daniel as a picture of Christ and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah as a picture of his church, oftentimes the Lord lets threats come to us when his presence seems absent, doesn't he? And he doesn't show up until we need him. So here they said to Nebuchadnezzar, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful in our answer toward you. We don't have to think about this. We don't have to negotiate with you. We don't have to get aside and discuss it. We know exactly what we're going to do. We're not going to bow and worship that image. Turn to me to chapter 2 at verse 17, and we'll begin reading there. And if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. He's able to deliver us from that fire, and he will deliver us from you. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. 7 times. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was so urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these mighty warriors that threw the Hebrew children into the furnace were consumed by the fire whenever they opened the door to put them in. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. It was the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and governors and captains and kings and counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whom body the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. What a picture. What a glorious picture. There is coming a day when God's going to consume this world with the wrath of his fire. God's people have the hope of knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ himself has absorbed all the heat. He's quenched the fire of God's judgment. No fear of this fire. No fear of this fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak of anything
amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Now, Noah preached about a flood that was going to come and destroy the earth, and nobody believed him. Nobody believed him. And when the flood came, Noah and his family were the only one found in the ark, and the rest of the world was destroyed by water. And God says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Men do not believe that God's going to destroy this world with fire. They have no fear of the burning furnace. They have no fear of God. And just like it was in the days of Noah, so it is in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, fire, you can look it up. Fire, I read someone who made some comments on this chapter, and he said, you know, the fearmongers and the fundamentalists are always preaching judgment and fire, but we need to think of it more positive. And he said, we need to think more of it about, you know, man being on fire for God. The word fire is mentioned more times in the Bible than the word sin. The word fire is mentioned more times than the word law, or soul, or glory. Matter of fact, the word fire, though the scripture speaks of Christ on every page, the word fire is mentioned more times in the Bible than the name Christ. I don't want you to be afraid of that fire. Fire is a symbol of wrath. It is a symbol of judgment. There's no question about it. But here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. I have come to send fire on the earth, and it is already kindled. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with that you know not of. He was going to the cross in order to absorb himself all the heat of God's wrath. John said, I baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And the disciples said, Lord, we want to drink of that cup. We want to be baptized with the baptism that you're baptized with. And the Lord said, and you shall be. You shall drink of the cup, and you shall be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. And when Paul speaks of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. He was baptized with fire. What a picture. Fire is most often mentioned when it comes to the sacrifices in the Old Testament. And there was a sacrifice made by fire. And there was an offering made by fire. All the sacrifices and all the offerings were made by fire. And they all represented. They all represented what the Lord Jesus Christ would do, even as he did in this miracle. There was not even the smell of smoke found on them. Not a hair on their head was singed. Not a bit of their clothing. And they were bound. We just read it. They were bound when they were thrown into the furnace. But when they came out, they were loosed and walking. Walking with who? The Lord Jesus Christ. who took all the fire himself. Yes, we were baptized in the baptism of fire. When the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, all those who were in him were baptized with him. That's why Paul said, "Oh, that I might know him, the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know that when he suffered, I suffered in him. And the fire has been quenched." You remember the story in 1 Kings chapter 18? When Elijah met the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he said, "The God who answereth by fire is God." And they agreed. They said, "Yeah." And so Elijah said, "You start. You pick out whichever bullock you want. Pick out the best one. You build your altar." And they did. And they spent all day crying out to Baal to send fire from heaven. They jumped up and down on the altar. They cut themselves and they bled while Elijah mocked them. Elijah knew that the God they were worshiping would not answer by fire. And then when they were finished, Elijah carefully built an altar. He cut up the bullock carefully. He put it on the altar. And then he said, "Bring me some water." And he kept pouring water. First time, 4 barrels. Second time, 4 more barrels. Third time, 4 more barrels. The whole altar is soaking wet and sitting in a pool of water. And then Elijah prayed. And the fire of God fell from heaven and lapped up the sacrifice, the altar, and the water. And as soon as the sacrifice was consumed, the fire was quenched. How often we see this in the scriptures. God's not going to send fire against his people. The first time the fire is mentioned in the scripture, out of over the 600 times that it's mentioned, the first time it's mentioned is, you know where, Sodom and Gomorrah. And who was in Sodom and Gomorrah? Righteous Lot. And God would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot came out. And so he sent his angel. And the scripture says, and Lot lingered. You ever find yourself lingering in Sodom? Lot lingered. And the angel took him by the hand and led him out. And was going to send him into the mountains. And Lot said, "No, don't send me to the mountains. Please send me to Zoar." And the word Zoar means little, small, or insignificant. And Zoar there is a picture of the church. It was a small town. As are God's churches. They're just small, insignificant places. No one pays any attention to them. But God could not rain fire from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah, would not rain fire from heaven on God, Sodom and Gomorrah, until his people came out. Once they came out, they were hid in Zoar. There, they were safe. We are safe from the wrath of God's fire. It is the love of Christ that constraineth us. God does not use fear tactics. We know there's a day of judgment coming. We know that just as God destroyed this earth by water, he's going to destroy it by fire. He's going to. There's any truth to God's word. But we have one. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Child of God, you can say with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "We are not careful in answering you, O King, against your threats. We will not bow down. Our God is able." Our God's able. Isaiah chapter 43, look at verse 1. "And now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee." The Lord Jesus Christ did not offer redemption to be made effectual by something we do. That's what man-made works religion's all about. That's what free will's all about. Everybody believes in free will. It is the presupposition upon which everybody builds their whole religion and their whole philosophy. Man has a free will. God doesn't have a free will. Will is what we do. And what we do is what our nature causes us to do. We act according to our nature. And the unregenerate man's will is to not believe Christ. It's not come to God. And that he will do. Well, he's got a will. But it's not free. I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. It's finished. It's accomplished. I've already absorbed all the fiery wrath of God's justice. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passeth through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Child of God, this is God's promise. Believe him. The flame can't hurt you. Not if you're in Christ. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Why does God save son? Because they were precious in his sight. He loved them with an everlasting love. He set his affection on them before time ever began. Because you are precious in my sight. I've called thee. I've redeemed thee. Thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him, and for my glory I have formed. That word formed is what the potter does. It's what the potter does. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Does not the potter have right to make of the same lump of clay some vessels of honor and some of dishonor? He's the potter, we're the clay. Beautiful pottery has already gone through the fire, hasn't it? It's already been through the kiln. Never has to worry about the fire again. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 10. Now the Lord speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he's saying, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that he may be tried, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. Shall not be hurt. Now, what's the second death? Don't worry about the first death. The second death is that lake of fire. He shall not be hurt by the second death. Satan has chained up many a child of God in prison, but he's never been able to chain up a believer's heart from crying out to Christ. Never been able to limit the power of God from ministering grace to his heart. In Numbers chapter 2, the Lord sent a fire to judge Israel, and they cried out to Moses, and the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Now the Lord said, I'm going to send you a new prophet like unto him. And when he prays unto me, when he prays unto me, when he says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, when he says it is finished, when he says unto Peter, Peter, be of good cheer, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. Father, I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me out of the world. When our Moses prays for us, the fire's quenched. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 31. Numbers chapter 31. This is a... I've never seen this before. Till preparing for this message. Numbers chapter 31. As you can see, I just went through and looked up many, many passages that spoke about fire. Look at Numbers 31 at verse 23. Well, verse 22. Only the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron and the tin and the lead. Everything that may abide the fire, you shall make it go through the fire. And it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation. And all that abideth not the fire, you shall make go through the water. The Lord was instructing his people on how to clean the instruments of worship. And he said, if it's metal and it can resist fire, then pass it through the fire and it'll be made clean. And that which is cloth, which cannot, or wood, which cannot resist the fire, then you clean it by water. And when John saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he had feet as of fine brass that had been through the fire. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that could go through the fire. You and I can't resist the fire of God. And so what does the Lord reserve for us? Water. When we go through the water, we are confessing that the only one who was able to go through the fire and come out clean is the one who makes us whole. And now we're clean. We're clean by water. Church at Laodicea thought that they were rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. And the Lord said, do you not know that you're poor and miserable and blind and naked? Come unto me. I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the gold that was tried in the fire. Buy of me gold that was tried in the fire. Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham took his son Isaac up on that mountain in obedience to God to sacrifice him, Isaac said, Father, here is the wood and here is the fire, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham said to his son, God will provide himself a lamb. God did the providing of the lamb. God provided himself as the lamb, and God provided the lamb to himself. God will provide himself a lamb. And sure enough, as Abraham was about to take his son's life, God stopped him. And what did Abraham see? He saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. What a picture. The horn is a picture of strength. And the Lord Jesus Christ, His horn of strength was caught in a thicket and was covered with a crown of thorns when he was put on Calvary's cross and the fire of God's wrath fell from heaven. And God saw the travail of his soul and God was satisfied. All these pictures of fire. They're not threats. They're promises. Promises. God's not threatening to destroy the world. He promises he will destroy it. And he's promised to his people that my fire has been quenched. There's no fire to fear. I've walked through the fiery furnace with you. You remember in Exodus chapter 3 when God calls out Moses, and Moses sees a bush that's on fire but not being consumed, and the scripture says that Moses turned to see what this was about. And when God saw that he turned, God spoke. And what did God say? Moses, take off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the ground on which you stand is holy ground. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was this bush that was on fire but not consumed by the fire. Why? Because he's that precious metal that was purified and cleansed by the fire of God's wrath. That those which cannot resist fire can be made clean by water. Oh, that God would give us the grace to turn and to look. To look on this bush that's burning and not being consumed. And then in Exodus chapter 12, when Moses is bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, what does God say? Choose a lamb. Put that lamb in your home and inspect him for 3 days. Make sure he's not sick. Make sure he doesn't have a bit of spot or wrinkle or blemish on him anywhere. And then on the day of the Passover, take that lamb and slay that lamb. And whatever's left over of the lamb, consume it with fire. Nothing was to be left of the lamb the next morning, was it? And the death angel passed over because God saw the blood of that lamb on the doorpost. The lamb had to be burned with fire. Children of Israel were led for 40 years through the wilderness by a pillar of fire. That was Christ. He's that pillar of fire. And on Mount Sinai, that mountain which shook with fire and smoke, the only one that could survive Mount Sinai was the one that was hid in the cleft of the rock. And one of the Sabbath rules of the Old Testament, one of the Sabbath laws, was that they were not to kindle a fire on the day of Sabbath. Why? Because Sabbath was a day of rest. It wasn't a day of fire. It was a day of rest. And Hebrews chapter 4 makes it clear that Christ is our Sabbath. He's our rest. We find our hope and comfort in rest in him, don't we? We don't kindle a fire on the Sabbath. Oh, but the world is... You remember Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, unfaithful priest? And the scripture says that they offered strange fire. They offered up to God strange fire. God was very specific about how the sacrifice was supposed to be offered up. Why? Because it pictured what the Lord Jesus Christ would accomplish. And they thought, well, you know, we'll just do it our way. We don't have to follow the details. Just as long as we make a sacrifice, as long as we consume it with fire. And they offered up to God strange fire, and God sent fire from heaven and consumed them both. There's modern day religion offering up strange fire. God satisfied with one fire. And that's the fire that fell on his son. And the Lord Jesus Christ walked through the fiery furnace in order to consume the heat of God's wrath. There are trials that come by fire. Peter makes that clear in 1 Peter chapter 1. And in all those trials, we have the hope of knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ... Turn with me to 1 Peter 1. We'll close with this. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Oh, he's that precious metal that could not be consumed by fire. He was raised from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Because the Lord, as the Son of God, was in the fiery furnace, not the smell of smoke is to be scented on any of God's people. How are we kept? How are we kept? Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, though it be tried with fire. There are trials in this life. The Lord said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Lord sends trials, if need be, and they do need to be, don't they? They might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Without trials, without fiery trials, without those fiery darts that are sent by the accuser of the brethren, we'll forget. We'll forget, won't we? We're prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God we love. And the Lord in his mercy, just like it was his mercy that caused the fire of his wrath to fall on his dear son and quench that wrath, so it is his mercy that sends fiery trials to the perfecting of our faith, causing us to see more and more of our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Child of God, be not afraid. When you go through the fire, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I was faithful then. I'm faithful now. I'm going to finish what I started. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope of knowing that the fire of your wrath was extinguished on Calvary's cross, and that we have a merciful Savior who understands the weaknesses of our flesh, the infirmities that we have here, and has never allowed us to go through a fire that he didn't go with us. Lord, give us the faith of these Hebrew children. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Bert, 125. Let's stand together. Number 125.
Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change. change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.